Back with you on Talk to the Experts on News Talk 770. Peter Watts in conversation this hour with Ken Gregory from Friends of Science. Ken, let's talk about methane and its impact on the environment and on climate change.
The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, that's the UN body that reviews climate and advises government, they've issued five major reports so far. In each one, they've given forecasts on the increase of methane. And they always show methane increasing quite dramatically with a fairly wide range. And each report always shows methane increasing, but the actual measurements are always below the bottom of all these ranges.
Why the discrepancy?
Well, methane is another gas that can help increase the temperature of the projections. And the IPCC's mandate is to focus on man-made climate change. So they have an inherent bias in wanting to show large increase of temperatures in their projections.
So your point and the point of view of Friends of Science is that the actual numbers are being enhanced or they are being added to in order to measure the impact of that particular gas on climate change.
Sure, it exaggerates the impact of that by having totally unrealistic projections of methane. It increases. Methane right now has a concentration of just under 1.8 parts per million. And 1990 was 1.7. So it's very tiny. We're talking about less than one part per million in the atmosphere. And now the last report that came out in 2013 also showed a projection, showed a large increase. But of course, the reality is that the methane increase is very, very small.
Okay. We've talked about the modeling that is done, the point that the whatever you get coming out is only as good as the data that is put in. We have talked about the impact a little bit on world political actions, which I guess in the most recent terms are highlighted by the Paris Accord, signed last December, ratified by enough bodies to make it effective just very recently, and by the impacts in this country of actions that have subsequently been taken by the government of Canada and by the government of Alberta. What is the Alberta Climate Plan?
It has several components. One is the plan on phasing out coal-fired power plants by 2030. There's going to be a cap on the oil sands CO2 emissions at 100 megatons of CO2 per year. They plan on cutting methane emissions by 40% by 2025. And the most important issue is the carbon tax, which is slated to be $20 per ton CO2 starting January 2017, so 2 months, increasing to $30 in 2018. So what that means is there's going to be an extra tax of $1.52 per gigajoule on natural gas, and about 6.7 cents per liter on gasoline. Now, I noticed on my energy charge in my last bill was $2.42. So this adding an extra $1.52 represents a 60% increase in your energy cost to heat your home. So that's pretty significant. And we're looking at some $9.6 billion of revenue or cost to us for paying this carbon tax. And some $3.4 billion of that will be paid over the next 5 years to companies to provide wind and solar. Both of these, of course, are totally uneconomic in Canada when one includes all the costs.
And there's also the potential cost to the public taxpayer of how to treat those plants that produce electricity by coal, which are being phased out, which have some contracts in place, and the negotiations to settle those contracts are ongoing as we speak.
Right, yes. So we have the bizarre situation where the Alberta government is suing themselves. Of course, this carbon tax is of course, a misnomer. They say carbon tax because when you think of carbon, you think of coal. Maybe we can think of diamonds. But it's not a tax on soot or diamonds. It's a tax on invisible carbon dioxide, invisible and odorless, and it is the gas of life. It is plant food. So the coal phase-out is probably going to cost in the order of $28, $29 billion because we have to replace that by other base load generators. They'll be from gas-fired power plants, such as 8 of the new power plants that we built. There's one east of Calgary. So that's probably $11 billion for that, probably another $11 billion for compensation to the owners of the coal-fired plants for their stranded assets, and $6 to $7 billion for new transmission lines to service the new wind power, and perhaps some for solar.
So there are some costs associated with transitioning away from coal and into other forms of energy production.
Yes, of course, the biggest issues here is that the grid has to balance supply and demand by a moment-to-moment basis. There is no economic way to store electrical power. And wind power is, of course, extremely variable. If one looks at a graph, I got one here of the Bull Creek wind farm performance, and you can see it looks like a seismograph during an earthquake. Mm-hmm. It goes up, down, up, down, up, down extremely rapidly. And you have to imagine that the Alberta electrical system operator has to match the variability of wind power by drawing on conventional power to ramp up and down to compensate.
Yeah, no, I understand the principle of storage. I know that's one of the challenges that's being faced by the industry in right. terms of if the wind is blowing or if the sun is shining. That's one thing. If it isn't, and it also has to be able to save power at times of low need for periods of peak need, and that's one of the engineering challenges that is being faced right now. So a little bit, we've talked a little bit about the economics and the fact that this move away from coal to other forms of energy is going to come at some cost, which is going to be measured by the taxpayer or paid by the taxpayer. And again, the other point, the one that I think hits all of us very quickly is that gasoline prices are going up because of the need to recover some of the dollars. And gasoline prices will be one of the ways that governments
that's right yeah
get some of that money back. Okay,
so one of the issues for phasing out coal that the government jumps on is health, but our coal fired plants have excellent filters to filter out up to 98% of any particulate emissions, and Forest fires create about 1,000 times as much particulate emissions as coal fire plants. And construction plus road dust produces about 200 times as much as coal fire power plants in Alberta, according to Environment Canada numbers. So we're talking, in terms of health, we're talking about a 0.1% change. So health is really, really not an issue, despite what the government says.
All right, let's take a time out on the program for just a moment, visiting with Ken Gregory from Friends of Science. You're listening to Talk to the Experts on News Talk 770.